it certainly sounds like a band that's now starting to gel on the live stage.
Yep, and as I said, it really comes from the more we play together. You know, we've done those the headline dates around mm-hmm. the UK, with a headline festival in Belgium,
yep.
etc. And we come out of that and said, right, you know, this is a live recording. We don't treat this lightly. So we had two solid days of rehearsal in Glasgow mm-hmm. In the studio. And then we actually had the benefit of hiring the venue for 2 days. So we camped into the venue. It sounds like 80s stuff. The trucks went round the corner and the cables up the stairs.
Yeah.
So we effectively did that. You know, we went in the day before. And that allowed us to get the sound absolutely pristine. I think as well, being such a special occasion, we wanted the people out front to really have the best sound. And also, I remember our sound engineer running about like a blue arse fly on a Thursday, and he's going, "I think, you know, we need to get a move on here." And I says, "The doors don't open tonight." And
yeah.
I went, "Totally forgot about that." And that just made him calm down and, you know, go and do what he needs to do and bring out a graphic equalizer and do this.
Yeah.
Awesome, you know. And you could walk off the stage at the sound check on the Thursday night, and walk, the mixing desk's actually upstairs on the balcony. So we walked up to the balcony playing the song on the wireless guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
And been able to hear the band play back. And go,
yeah.
It sounds great. And the beauty of that being, you know, Cold Spell are on a separate set of channels for their night. They're getting a great sound. None of ours is touched. They've got their own equipment. And you know, it just went like absolute clockwork. It couldn't have went any better. And really, it was just, we hope people are turning up, and the place was absolutely fine.
Yeah, and from all over the place again as well.
Absolutely, and that was great. You know, it's we did a couple of interviews before it, and people were saying, "Are you up to high dough? Are you, you know, full of nerves?" I said, "Actually, I'm not." And I said, "Without a word of a lie, because I know this audience will deliver." And having been in the rehearsal studio and on this stage last night with the band, and I think that was a key point, being able to go there on Thursday and have everything set up. There's no panic. We could wander around to the venue at the back of two the next day. Everybody had a great night's sleep the night before, fed and watered. And all of the worries that you have normally associated with show day were off, and it was really just a case of do what we did in rehearsal, guys, do what we did last night, and the crowd will take care of the rest.
Yeah.
Glasgow always delivers for us, David, so
yeah.
having everyone there, that's the reason why we did those kind of special you know, things to help people travel, was we knew it was an important occasion for us, and our fans are everything to us, and you know, this album for us is a kind of like a best of. It's a celebration of where we've been and how far we've come, and
yes,
the band is now, that we wouldn't want to share it with anybody else but the guys that have been there from the start with us. And we were lucky to be blessed with a couple of people travelling from, you know, Japan, from Spain and Holland and Belgium and all over the United Kingdom, Ireland, Wales. And it was honestly one of the most humbling experiences as a musician that you can ever have.
It must be that sort of thing that says, this is why I do this. This is why we need to do more of it. And what are we doing next?
Indeed. And sometimes being the boss of it all and doing Mr. Organisation, you can lose sight of that and forget that it all started from an acoustic guitar in my lap in a village near Glasgow, you know?
Yeah.
Sometimes I need little reminders of that to really go, oh, you know, not that I ever lose sight of the vision, but sometimes I get so wrapped up in the organisation and running it that I do forget, and just I stick my hood up and go out for a bite to eat and a burger when the doors are opening, just to get a look at and see if people are there, because still to this day I've got that, I wonder if anybody will turn up, and I think that's a nice thing to have, because it keeps you grounded. There's no arrogance hidden behind it, you know. Purely my motives are to do the best for this band and entertain people, because you know, that's why we exist.
Even on the headline tour last May, there was a good crowd in, all having a good time, you know. And you say, well, there was this, that, and whatever technical things, but people did come away having had a good time.
Yeah, that's the thing. You can get too caught up. You always want the show to go perfect.
Absolutely.
I thought the band sounded great. You know, we've videoed all of those shows.
Yeah.
We took them away, watched them all, and okay, some of the things, like string breaking or cringe worthy moments, etc.
Yeah.
But when the band played, you know, what I did see was the evolution of Nicola as a frontman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the reasons we picked Nicola was that he had a lot of experience at his tender age. You know,
yes.
He fronted probably, arguably, Serbia's biggest rock band for 10 years.
Mm.
I'd watched countless videos before I even approached him, of him singing on stage at festivals, opening for Whitesnake at the National Football Stadium. I thought, bloody hell, this kid's got some amount of experience.
Mm.
And I didn't take into consideration that here's a guy who English is his third language,
yeah,
and Serbian and Hungarian.
Yes.
Is coming here. And I've seen footage of him singing in a Hungarian band, Dreland, and he sings perfect in English, he sings great, but all of those songs are introduced in a foreign language. That's the first time he's ever come here and, you know, introduced songs on their own right in English and talking in between songs. And Firefest was a baptism of fire.
Yeah.
First gig, 2,000 sold out venue, both go and do it. And you don't realise what pressure that is on a guy, you know. And for him, it was actually finding his confidence over those couple of shows. And I think it took maybe Glasgow and Bolton. The next night, actually, we did in, where did we go to the next night? Went to, was over in Yorkshire, Wakefield. And he'd been wearing these sunglasses on the stage, and he put them down somewhere just so that he could kind of, you know, not look anybody in the eye and feel confident. And he lost them actually before he went on stage, and he was in a bit of a panic. And I'm saying, what the fuck are you worrying about? And
yeah,
he went on stage and delivered the best show that he'd done up to that point in the tour, because he was engaged, he was in people's faces.
Yeah.
And I actually seen that coming back. And he's a good looking guy, and the chicks loved it. So it was one of those things where saying, don't wear those glasses again. You were just, you were like a man possessed.
It's almost like the old stabilisers on a kid's bike, isn't it? You think,
absolutely.
I need them, and oh, no.
You know, and once we got to the show in London, it was just unbelievable. It was one probably out with the Dream Theatre, just the best shows we've ever done as a band, and walked off stage and Pete Mudick was opening with Tainted Nation.
Yeah.
He said, hand on heart, with me or without me in the band, that was the best I ever heard you guys. And that was just a massive compliment, you know. He said, just sounds great. He said, Nick was just wonderful.
Mm.
So it was awesome, and everybody's gelled together. John's fitted in like a glove. It's been like a seamless transition, you know.
Yeah, you're starting to sound like you really want to take this and fly with more and more live shows.
Well, to be honest, I mean, I think that when we moved to find a replacement for Michael back in the day, we said, you know, in order for us to get any further, we need to tour. And it has to be a singer from Europe. We tried our damnedest to get one from Great Britain, but they don't seem to grow in trees anymore. And that's what we said. Well, worst case scenario, we take someone from Europe, and you know, Nick coming from Serbia brought originally its own kind of problems.
Yes.
He needed a visa. But he's so dedicated to it that he said, I really want to make a go of this. I'm going to go and get a Hungarian passport. And went and did that himself because of his Hungarian grandparents.
Yeah.
He was able to get a Hungarian passport in the EU, so we don't need that anymore. That's been a massive improvement. So everyone has shown that they really want to make it work. And having an old road dog like Steve Williams in your camp as well is just a great person to lean on in terms of you know, the do's and don'ts of touring. And
yeah,
he's done a lot more of it than we have with PQ, and it's just working wonderfully well,
yeah,
on stage and off stage.